First time on our stage, we were run, man. That's great, isn't it? Great song, great tempo, great words. We will run. Let's pray. Lord God, give us hearts that want to run toward you. There's so much in this world clamoring for our attention. Lord, we can run in a million different directions. But Lord, only when we run hard after you are we truly going to know fulfillment and satisfaction, not only for this life, but for the life to come. Thank you for the band and the great job they did on that song. In Jesus' name, amen. For you that may not know, my name is David Blackburn. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. It's good to have you here this morning. In late July and early August, it seemed the eyes of the world were on London. Something was happening there that brought 204 nations together. Or was it? Kind of weak. That was one of the easiest questions you're going to get all morning. Yeah, the Summer Olympics. Why is it that millions of people were so interested in this? You know, maybe it was the pride of country, all those nations, or the entertainment factor, the great job they did with all of that. But another reason might be that we love to see people excel at something they've worked so hard to achieve. In writing to the Christians in Corinth, Greece, Paul talks about the Corinthian Games, which were second in importance to the ancient Olympics of the day. Now, those games didn't have events like they had in London this past summer. You know, they had volleyball and badminton, table tennis, and I refer to it as ping pong. And I'm just, what's wrong with that? I'm curious, by a raising of your hand, who refers to it as table tennis? Let me see. See? Who refers to it as ping pong? Hey, good for you. Maybe that means our IQ's just a little bit less. I don't know. But back in the Corinthian games, they did have events such as running and spear throwing, boxing, wrestling, chariot racing, and the crowd favorite was racing in armor. Now, I'm not so sure if the fastest man alive today, Usain Bolt, would have won the 100 and 200 meter dashes with a suit of armor, but I'm sure all those running against him wished he would have had armor on. Paul uses these games as an illustration for life. And in 1 Corinthians 9, he says there are four things it takes to win in the race of life. First, Paul says it takes desire, which means I must want to win. As athletes were being interviewed by the media during the Olympics, you could identify a common denominator among all of them. It didn't matter what country they came from or what event they competed. They all had a desire to win. That desire was the passion and driving force in their lives. You see, they had made every sacrifice necessary in order to compete in the Olympics. They were in London to win because of that desire inside of them. If we want to make an impact with our lives during our brief existence on this earth, we must have passion and desire to win. You see, Paul was a person who had a lot of desire to do what God wanted him to do with his life. He writes this: "You know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one runner gets the prize. So run like that." Read the next line. Run to win. That's to be our goal. Run to win. He says the followers of Christ should run to win, and they should have a desire and a passion to make their lives count for the cause of Christ. Now, the reality is most people just live fourth place lives. I read about an Englishman who went to a trophy shop and he began buying medals to send to the English athletes who would otherwise have nothing to show for all their efforts. One side of the medal is engraved with the athlete's name and event, while the other side reads this: "In recognition of your fourth place finish in the Olympic Games 2012. In an interview, the man who did this said he hoped they didn't find it insulting because it's meant seriously and supportively. You know, and I read that and I said, you know, I'm not so sure that's the way those athletes are going to see it. But I do believe many Christians should get a similar medal because they live fourth place lives. They don't run to win. They just run to finish so they can sit down and retire before they die. Their whole goal in life is to get enough money so they can retire and just kind of space out, veg out. See, I personally don't believe God put us on this earth so we could get to a place in our lives where we could just retire, sit down, and space out. See, I believe he puts us here for a purpose and a reason for all of our lives, no matter how many days we get, and he wants us to make all of our lives count for his kingdom's sake. Retirement should never mean, you know, you retire from doing what God intends for you to do with your life. We may retire, yeah, that's true. We may quit a job, but we're not to retire from the cause of Christ in our lives. So I want us to look at some reasons this morning why someone might not want to run to win in life. Some people don't want to run to win because of guilt that they carry over past mistakes. They think, you know, I don't deserve to win. I had my chance way back when and I blew it, so I don't deserve to win. Fortunately for you, this isn't a Bible concept. And we serve a God who gives us other opportunities to start over. And I say amen to that. Other people don't want to run to win in life because of hurtful people in their past. You see, someone in their past has said something like this: "You're never going to amount to anything," or "You couldn't do that, what you like to do, so why don't you just give up and quit right now?" And you have been living under lies like that for years, and they've become a part of who you actually are. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if it was a parent, a teacher, or a pastor, those people lied to you, and they were wrong. Because I seem to remember a Bible verse that says, "I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength." Don't forget, it's through Christ. They lied to you. Another reason some Christ followers don't want to run to win in life is because they have a faulty theology. They have a fatalistic mindset. And they think whatever happens is just going to happen. There was a song many years ago, before most of you were even born, called "Que Sera Sera." Doris Day made it famous. It talked about this idea of whatever's going to happen is just going to happen. And a lot of people live that que sera kind of life. You know, it's the word we use today, whatever kind of life. I don't like that word, whatever. I use it, but I don't like it. duh. You know, they say things to themselves like, why bother having any desire or any ambitions, because whatever's going to be is just going to be. Things just happen. I can't do anything about it. And this is faulty thinking and faulty theology. It's not Christianity. Sounds a lot like Buddhism. Buddhism says the goal of life is to eliminate all your desire, and then you'll be happy because you won't want anything. But the Bible doesn't teach that. God says we're to use our desires, run the race of life, because He's given those desires to us. He made us. And if we have an interest and desire in certain things, it's because He placed that inside of us. And He wants us to develop that interest and desire and make the very most of it. He doesn't say just eliminate your desires, but to channel those desires in order to benefit the things of God and to help and bless other people. There are some people who don't want to run to win in life because they think success is being selfish and it's unscriptural. They say, you know, if I try to make my life a success, I'm being an unspiritual person. Well, maybe you have the wrong definition of success, because God definitely wants you to succeed in life. Now, if you think success is making a whole lot of money so you can spend it on yourself and your family, that's not what God defines as success. For a Christ follower, the goal of life is not to make a pile of money and spend it all on yourself. The goal of a successful life is to first figure out what God put you on this earth to do to help further His kingdom, and then fulfill that purpose by doing the best you can with the DNA that God gave you. And if those principles guide us, we'll be successful at what God made us to be. Now, it may not be the kind of success the world recognizes. This is where we get tripped up. But it will be recognized by our Maker. The psalmist says, how great is the Lord? He is pleased with the success of His servant. Do you parents want your children to succeed? I've never known a parent to say no to that. Well, our Heavenly Father wants His children to succeed. Desire is the starting point for that success, but desire is not enough. We all know people who'd like to be successful, and they seem to have the desire, but it takes more than desire. Paul says, along with desire, it also takes direction, which means I must focus on a goal. Paul writes, in the same way, I run straight for the place at the end of the race. I fight to win. I do not beat the air. Paul says he doesn't just run aimlessly in life. He has a target and a goal, which is to run straight for the place at the end of the race. An interesting way to say it. But what is that place at the end of the race? It's the finish line. See, I told you it's going to get harder. Paul has a desire to run in one direction. He wants to do something with his life, but it's not just any old something. No, it's something specific that God wants him to do. Paul lets us know he's headed in a definite direction, and he's not just playing around. This is important stuff. You know, he's not shadow boxing. He's not just flailing around and beating at the air. As some of you know, he's not playing air guitar. I can get up here and play this all day long, but you'd rather hear Tom play. He says, I'm really serious about this. And I'm going for the special place at the end of the race. Unfortunately, that doesn't describe many people who claim to be Christians. If you took a good look and you observed with non-judgmental eyes, you probably would conclude that many people are playing around in life. They never really get serious about serving God and His church. They never really get serious about their own life and what they're doing. They never really get serious about serving and making a difference with their lives because they are living self-centered lives. Lives that are only concerned about how much more pleasure and thrills they can squeeze out of this world. Far too many people never get serious because they're playing around and not running straight for the place at the end of the race. In Proverbs, read a great verse. An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. If you want your life to count and make a difference, you've got to get your direction right. You've got to know exactly what direction you need to take in life, contrary to the fool of this proverb who starts off in many directions. You need to have not only the desire that says, I want to do something meaningful with my life, but you've got to clarify the direction by asking, what is my goal? You see, this was Paul's testimony to the Christians in Philippi. Paul says this, I focus on this one thing. It's his goal. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Paul says if you want to have the right direction in your life, you've got to forget about the past. Did you know that you can't live for today, you can't plan for tomorrow, if you're always living in the past? Many people have been hurt in a variety of ways in their past, and I'm not minimizing that at all. I'm not minimizing that. But some of those same people have a tendency to get stuck there in their past and kind of hang out. They relive the hurt over and over in their minds, just like a broken record. And if we're choosing to live in the past with all of its hurts, we're allowing the past to continue to hurt us today. I don't know about you, but that hurt from the past, and I've had a few, that's enough. And I don't want to redo of that hurt today. And God tells us through Paul here that our past is past, and we need to let it go. And I understand, maybe you need some help letting it go, and that's quite all right. Maybe you need to spend some more time in your devotions and your prayer time about asking God to help you let it go. Maybe you need to see a Christian counselor that can give you some insight and guidance with this. But let me encourage you as a fellow follower of Christ, do something to get some help so you can let go of the past. If you really want to make your life count, and you want to do something that makes you a success in life according to God's standards, then it will take desire and it will also take direction. But it's also going to take discipline, which means I must be willing to work. Paul says all who compete in the games use strict training. They do this so that they can win a prize, one that doesn't last. But our prize is one that will last how long? Forever. Paul says those who competed in the Corinthian games used strict training that was made possible by self-control. We would call that having a disciplined training program. And no doubt, a disciplined training program was high on the list of all those athletes, some 10,000 of them, who competed in the 2012 Summer Olympics. Discipline has the element of self-denial in it. You see, if you're disciplined to train for hours each week in order to compete, then you must deny yourself some other things in life. If you're training, you're probably not staying up real late at night watching a lot of TV, or you're not going out to eat every night at McDonald's, or you're not sleeping in late in the morning because you're in training. You see, these words, discipline and self-denial, are not exactly popular words in the American culture. Someone wrote this, very profound. They said, discipline is what we need most and want the least in our lives. Yet it's the thing that turns ability into achievement. How true. Paul said he had to deny himself some things in life in order to win. And I believe that's great advice for anyone today. Nobody has ever succeeded in life by doing whatever they please. You see, the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is simply this. Successful people are willing to do the things unsuccessful people aren't willing to do. It may seem hard, but this is the truth. Unsuccessful people aren't willing to pay the price. In whatever walk of life, that's the difference, and it's a choice we all make from young age on through all of our life. Successful people are willing to discipline themselves, to swim the extra laps, to make the extra sales calls, run the extra miles, study the extra books, work the extra hours, and on and on and on. We all have our scenario about what that would amount to. But there's no way around it. It takes discipline and self-control to be a success in life. The Greek word for compete in verse 25 that we had up there is the word that we get for our English word agonize. See, Paul was telling us 2,000 years ago, no pain, no gain. In Proverbs, we read something that I think should be in every classroom, posted on the wall. The lazy will not get what they want, but those who work hard will. You teachers agree that should be on the wall somewhere? The mark of a successful person is personal discipline. Whether they're a teacher, whether they're an athlete, a truck driver, a stay-at-home mom, a salesperson, a lawyer, a student, a carpenter, a soldier, and again, on and on and on. A lot of people have desire. Some people even get the direction right. But they're not willing to discipline themselves and pay the price to do what's necessary to be successful. Paul says to us, if you want to run the race of life, there's one more thing you've got to do. He says it takes determination, which means I must never give up. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says he does whatever it takes to keep himself ready and running in the race. And that should be the same for us today. We need to determine that we will do whatever it takes to keep going towards the goal. We're not going to stop in the middle of the race and quit. We're going to make it to the finish line because we're never giving up. It's been said that great people are just ordinary people with an extraordinary amount of determination. I want to give you that one more time. Great people are ordinary people with an extraordinary amount of determination. These are people who don't know how to quit. And you see, it's sad, but most people quit and give up too soon. They quit and give up on school. They quit and give up on their job. They quit and give up on their marriage. Some even quit and give up on God. The writer of Hebrews said this, "So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly. Let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he's now seated at the right side of God's throne. Think of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up." This verse says that in order to finish the race of life well, there are some things you have to let go of. There are some things you have to hold on to. You can't just do one without the other. You've got to do them both. Let go of, hang on to. First, you need to let go of anything that is holding back your spiritual progress. Have you ever asked the question to yourself, "I wonder what's holding me back and keeping me from becoming all that God wants me to be?" I just wonder if you ever asked that. It's a great question, and you should ask yourself that, and then invite God by way of His Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, a little bit like the whispers we're going to be studying. So ask Him this week. I challenge you. Sometime this week before next Sunday, say, "God, what's holding back my spiritual progress?" And all of us are not where we want to be in our spiritual development. So that's for all of us. For some people, you see, it's a habit. It's holding them back and getting in the way. A habit continues to keep them from being all that God wants them to be. For others, it's a friendship. You've got a friend who really is not that great a friend because they don't know the Lord, and they keep pulling you down and dragging you in the wrong direction from where a Christ follower should be going. For others of you, it's materialism and the love of things, and they're holding you back and getting in the way of your spiritual progress. You see, the desire to have more stuff has so consumed your life, and you've gotten caught up in the culture that says, "I got to have more and more and more." You say you want to be a strong, committed Christian. You got most of us fooled. But you also want to have more of everything else that's out there. Well, that's not possible. If all your life is spent making more money so you can buy more things, you won't have any time for what is really important and that will last beyond this life. See, if you want to win the race and be successful in God's eyes, you got to let go of some things. Then there's some things that the writer of Hebrews says you have to hold on to. This passage in Hebrews says we should hold on to and remember the example of Jesus. Jesus didn't give up. Jesus didn't quit when people were putting him down and criticizing him and his ministry. He didn't give up at the hatred of the sinners all around him and the hatred that was focused toward him. He just kept on keeping on with God's plan for his life. And we find a key in this passage for not giving up and for continuing to have determination and persistence, which we so desperately need. The key is what you have your eyes on in life. It may seem very elementary. We should have learned this a long time ago, and we probably did. But for Christians, we must have our eyes and our focus on Jesus. The verse says, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. You see, the reason that many people give up too soon is they get distracted. Chariots of Fire was a movie based on the 1924 Olympics that was held in Paris, France. You may remember that great theme song that came out of that movie, and actually it was played during the medal ceremonies of the 2012 Olympics. In one of the scenes in the movie, a runner is being scolded by his coach, and the coach is running along the sidelines trying to get his attention. This runner was winning the race, but he was constantly looking sideways to see if the favorite, Eric Liddell, was coming up to catch him. And sure enough, when this runner looked sideways for the last time, Liddell passed him, and the runner lost the race. And now it's too late for this race, but the coach told that second place finisher, never take your eye off the goal. The moment you start looking at the competition, you start looking sideways, and you're dead in the water. Paul refused to be distracted. Paul refused to look sideways. That's why at the end of his life, Paul could say, I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. One day, you and I are going to stand before God. And will we be able to say what Paul said? God, I finished the race. I did what you wanted me to do with my life. I didn't waste my life and throw it away. I didn't get sidetracked and distracted. When we stand before God in eternity, we'll realize that what really mattered in life wasn't the awards. It wasn't the money and all the things and the so-called success of life. 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul said, everyone who competes in the games does it so they can get a prize. One that doesn't last. But our prize, Paul says, is one that lasts forever. He's talking about running the race of the Christian life. He says the prizes here on earth don't last. In the ancient Olympic Games, one of the prizes was a winner's crown that was made out of olive branches. But the only problem is the moment the crown was made, it began to wither away. And I believe we all know that trophies and medals eventually tarnish. Recognition and fame is fleeting, and it doesn't really last that long. So live your life for the rewards that God's going to give, because those rewards are the only ones that will last forever. One of the most dramatic examples of determination is a young man who ran in the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. He was from England, and his name was Derek Redmond. He's now a motivational speaker traveling around. And he ran the 400-meter race, and that year he was expected to win the gold medal. And I want you to watch this video with me. After the race, Derek was interviewed, and he said this about his father. He said, "All I remember is just breaking down, and my father called my name. And he said, 'We'll finish it together.'" Along with many of you, I found that life is hard. It has many pitfalls and obstacles. The race of life that God's called us to isn't an easy race. We have a very powerful enemy, one by the name of Satan, who will do everything he can to make us stumble and fall so we'll quit. We'll make mistakes. We'll stumble. And at times we will fall flat on our face. But we don't have to quit, because we have a heavenly Father who cares about us. He'll come and pick us up. He'll put his arms around us, and he will call our name. He'll say, "I created you, David. Fill in the blank with your own name." He said, "We're going to finish the race of life together." He'll put his arms around us, and he will help us make it to the finish line. Human help is useless, but we can win with God's help. What a treasure. What a promise. The key to winning the race of life is having a personal relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you know him because you've repented of your sins and received by faith his offer of salvation, he will help you in your own race of life. I can't imagine trying to run this race without the help of my Heavenly Father. None of us knows how long our lives are going to last or how long we're going to be in the race. And because of this, whatever we're going to do with our lives, we need to do it now. Don't say, "I'm going to wait till I get a little more money before I do it," or "I'm going to wait until the kids are out of the house before I do it. I'm going to wait till I get this job finished before I do it." No, do it now. Commit to doing it now, starting the day. Whatever you're going to do for Jesus Christ, tell him you're ready today, September 23rd, and then do it. You see, since we're not guaranteed a tomorrow, we better start making our lives count for him today. And I believe with all my heart, with God's help, we, you and me, can run this race of life and we can win. Let's pray. Lord, we're all in this race of life, no matter what our age. Until the final breath is breathed, Lord, we're in this race. Lord, we've stumbled, we've fallen, we've thought about quitting, and maybe we have quit. And you've come out of those heavenly stands, Lord, and you've come alongside of us. You've lifted us up. You put your arms around us. And you've whispered in our ears, "Don't quit. I'll help you make it. I'll help you cross the finish line." Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us the way you do. Lord, I pray for those folks who may be here who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Help them know you love them. You're not mad at them. You died for them. You want them to know your encouragement, know your help in the race of life that they're running. Lord, help them to see the truth of Jesus Christ and embrace that truth. Now, Lord, help us to make a commitment from this day on that we're going to forget the past. We're going to do what God wants us to do. And we're going to trust you to pick us up when we fall, when we fail. And we're not going to quit. We're not going to quit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.